I am sure that most everyone in here at one time or another has drunk an imaginary glass of tea. I had a younger sister, and she was all the time holding tea parties. And at times I would humor her and sit down to a meal of imaginary tea and imaginary cookies. And I tried to give the occasion the dignity that it was supposed to require, but I have to say, I never really saw the point of an imaginary tea when it involved imaginary cookies. However, some years ago, I came across an account of an imaginary communion shared by the great theologian Jürgen Moltmann, who had received a letter from a Chilean political prisoner. And this Chilean political prisoner was talking about a meal he called the meal of empty hands. While the non-believers were distracting the guards, the believers gathered in a section of the prison. And there the celebrant said to them, "The bread we do not have represents the body of Christ given for us. The bread we do not have symbolizes the hunger that's in the world. Millions of people dying because they do not have basic necessities to live. The cup we do not have symbolizes the spilled blood of our Lord given freely for us. Our Lord given His blood for us in behalf of movements for justice and freedom that continue. This bread we do not have, this cup we do not have, and yet the communion of our Lord is in our midst. Here," said the celebrant to the participants, as he passed out the imaginary bread, "Take and eat, this is my body." "Here," he said as he passed out the imaginary cup, "take and drink, this is my blood shed for you. When you eat it and you drink it, do it in remembrance of me." And as they shared this meal of empty hands, they communed with the living presence of the real God. Jesus is in an almost diametrically opposite situation. He has been invited into the home of a Pharisee, and he sits down at table, and he has not undergone the ritual ceremony of cleansing. Now, this is not about washing your hands before dinner. This was the Pharisees' understanding. Of all Pharisees believed, you had to engage in a ritual ceremony of cleansing before you could sit down at table. Otherwise, you ate food in an impure spiritual state. And this Pharisee was flabbergasted, astonished, appalled that Jesus would sit down at table without going through this process. Jesus looks at him and says, My friend, you are appalled that I don't worry about going through a ceremony with water that supposedly makes me spiritually clean? I am far more concerned about you and your cohorts washing yourself with water while your insides are spiritually corrupt. What you do is wash the outside of the cup, but the inside is full of stain. Jesus said, far better
through openness to the living God to receive the power of the Spirit. Far better to be inwardly clean, inwardly pure, inwardly powerful, than to worry about external actions that make no real difference. On the one hand, you have a communion that took place with imaginary elements. On the other hand, you had a ritual that was properly done but made no impact on the inside. We engage in a ritual this morning, a ritual that some of us have done hundreds of times. Will it be a ritual of meaning? Let's just assume for a moment the deacons forgot it was Communion Sunday. Let's just assume there's no bread on the table, no cups. Could we still hold communion? Yes, indeed. We could still have communion with each other. We could still be reminded that our God has given Himself to us absolutely and without reservation. These elements of bread and wine remind us that our Lord entered the nitty-gritty world and did so that He might communicate love unto us and that we might be changed. We can go through this ritual as we've done 100 times and our souls could not be touched. And yet, at this table, the Lord offers us gifts. Gifts of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness, goodness, self-control. Impalpable, intangible gifts that when we open them and incorporate them into our being, make a difference in how we live. If there was no bread, if there were no cups, but we communed with each other as the family of God and opened our spirits to the Spirit of God, allowed our hearts to be filled with the Spirit's gifts. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. If we open our being to those gifts, then we commune with each other and with commune with God's life-giving Spirit. And our lives are transformed. It's not what we do externally in this ritual that will change us. But we are meant to enter this sanctuary and experience God's reality and leave changed. This communion is meant not to be a ritual we go through on the outside, but a spiritual action that fills us with spiritual gifts on the inside that evinces itself in acts of love. Will we engage in an empty ritual? Or will we leave with our souls nourished and transformed? For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had broken it, He gave thanks and said, "This is my body which is for you. As often as you eat it in remembrance of me."
The same way also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. I issue an invitation to all who would accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, to come to this table, to partake of this meal, symbolic of God's love for us. It's not Dr. Krimmer's table. It's not the table of Vineville Baptist Church. It is the table of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all who would take upon their lives his name are invited to partake.
As you have heard in the scriptures, our Lord Jesus, trying to convey to his friends the meaning of what was about to happen, took the bread, the common bread of the meal, and broke it. Says, this is what happens to my body. But then, in the wake of that image of violence, he gives thanks. God of grace, graciousness and goodness, we live in a world of violence. Violence and cruelty and hatred sometimes seem to rule our world. But your image of a broken body reminds us that you are there for us amidst all of this cruelty and hatred and violence, and yet you do not give it the last word. The last word is your love, your transformation, and your grace. And so we come to this table with hearts full of gratitude that you indeed have ultimate sway. In the name of the Christ we pray. Amen.